So I want to make sure we're on the same page as a church when it comes to things like the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, I have seen different churches handling it in different ways, and I'm not critical at anyone who's preaching the gospel. But some people, in my perception, add weirdness to it that isn't needed. And as John Wimber, who was the founder of the Vineyard, used to say, the Holy Spirit is weird enough. We don't have to add ours to it. So, but what I believe God is speaking to us in this time is to just really be open to His gifts. I was asking the Lord, what is it that you want me to say about the gifts of the Holy Spirit? And I don't have a scripture for this, so please weigh it with that in mind. But I felt that the Lord was saying that the gifts of the Holy Spirit given to us are reflecting His nature, what He's like, and that we want to really handle it with reverence because that's the case. My definition of holy that I have always heard is being like God. So doing the gifts of the Holy Spirit is being like God. Now, we will do it imperfectly, but I believe God's calling us to do more and more of this. This was healing, which is one of the obvious, simple ones. But when I was 16 years old, I took a class in Toledo at what was, I don't know if it's still there, the Catholic Club. It is. It was senior life saving. And we had a book to read, and we watched movies. They didn't have videos, then they had movies. And I really learned a lot, but I didn't learn anything until after we got done doing that. And we put on our swimming suits and went into the water. And getting into the water was a whole different experience than watching things, videos. And so I remember my final exam. It was quite simple, but quite scary. And in it, we had two rows, and we had two instructors down in the deep end of the pool, and our job was to dive in and swim to them, get them in what's called a cross chest carry, and bring them back on a side stroke. Simple, right? Well, there were two people out there. One was a guy who I say goes 250 and wasn't fat. And then there was this kind of thin young lady. And of course, everyone jumped up into the line with the thin young lady. And then the instructor say, no, we got to have 50-50. Well, I was smart enough, to stay in the line with the young lady. So the first two students dive in and they swim to the back, to the end of the pool. And as they approach the two drowning victims, the guy, you could get behind him, grab him, and he just did what's called a barrel roll and bring him back. The girl, on the other hand, started kicking and scratching and biting and doing, and then you could see the line wanting to go back to the other side. But I was still in that line. So I'm watching this over and over again. I think, thank heaven, she got a little bit tired, yeah. But I finally, my turn, and I dove in and swam down to her, got around behind her like I was supposed to, and got her in the cross chest carry. Now, we had a signal that if in the middle of any of these exercises, something went wrong, you tap the person and everybody just lets go. And I got her halfway back and she goes and taps me. And so we got to the side of the pool. I go, what did I do wrong? She said, you didn't do anything wrong. It's just you were squeezing me so hard I couldn't breathe anymore. So I would have successfully saved her but probably killed her in the process. So. But that's what it's kind of like. Learning the gifts of the Holy Spirit, it's like just learning how to do this stuff of God. And we might kill a couple people along the way, but you know, we can always go like this and tap. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, which is probably the best place that I don't need this that to find anything on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. 12 and 14 are good. 13 is sandwiched in between, and you should read that too while you're doing it. But there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all. It's the Holy Spirit working in our lives that is the gifts of the Holy Spirit. If you don't know, I mean, there's lots of gifts of the Holy Spirit. This is probably not even an exhaustive list, but can we hit the next one, the lists of the gifts of the Holy Spirit? There you go. So, I mean, you got words of wisdom, words of knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, all of this stuff. And even some that we might not think about, like prophecy, serving, teaching. One of my favorites that's somewhere on here, I hope. Yes, faith. The gift of faith isn't just I believe, but it's you're going to have to kill me because I really know this is going to happen and nothing's going to stop it kind of faith. So these are gifts that God gives us. He's helping us to build the church. These gifts are a communal thing. Again, if you read 1 Corinthians 13, you will see that it's all about love. The gifts are for the people who don't have the gifts, who are receiving whatever service or whatever healing or whatever it is that God wants to do through the people who have the gifts. So if you have a gift of the Holy Spirit, it's really not about you. It's about others. Now, all of the gifts are for other people with exception of one, and it's a gift of tongues in personal prayer. And I'll talk about that in a few weeks. But right now, just say most of the gifts are for others. You can pray for healing for yourself. You can pray for a lot of these different ones just for yourself, but it's nowhere near as effective as somebody else coming and praying for you. And I think the reason for that is God wants us to be really interdependent on one another. He wants us to go to one another for prayer, for whatever needs we had. It was very cool to see people all come over to Paula and then take her away and check her blood pressure and all that. That's sort of a great example of what God wants to do through his church for his church. These are all matters of building up the church of Christ. It's building one another up through these gifts. Paul and I met in a prayer meeting in a marketing company's office way back a long time ago. And Charlie Kennedy, a friend of ours, was there. And he was a great teacher of how to get other people to do all of this stuff. And he would say, does anybody have a prophetic word? And then he'd pick someone out and say, what do you got? And he did it in a gentle way, so it wasn't putting him on a spot, but they would possibly say, well, I don't have anything. And he'd go, well, if you had to say something, what would you say? And if they said, well, I still don't, well, then what are you feeling? He wanted to share that person to share something of themselves to others. Now, he didn't do that to a newbie. It was usually people who had been there a while, but they understood him. In 1 Corinthians 14, it says, since you are eager to have spiritual gifts, try to excel in the gifts that build up the church, which are most of these, except the gift of tongues and prayer for yourself. Now, I got to tell you something about the process of learning how to use the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It's a matter that we have to have the ability in trying to use the gifts, to fail. It's like our buddy Homer. Trying is the first step towards failure. One of the reasons that when we have a prayer for people and we have somebody new for the first time, tell them the two rules we have. You remember, one is nothing happens to you unless you want it to happen to you. And the second rule is you need to discern and make sure that whatever is said is for you, for today, from God. And if you feel that. Well, the reason is it's because we screw it up. We sometimes pray out for somebody what we really need instead. And so it was for God, for that, or from God for that day, but not for that person. It was for ourselves. Or we've done something that just really doesn't quite work. And so people can sort that out. We call upon people not to be upset if something said that isn't quite right. I was praying for someone actually at Charlie's prayer meeting one time, and I was reading this psalm, and I read it in the first half of that. I knew the person, so that was actually a little dangerous. And I knew the first half of this psalm would really be good for him. So I read it to them, and they go, oh, that was really great. That's just what I needed to hear, especially the second half of that psalm. I had close, but I didn't quite get it in that I thought it was the first half for them. God used what God wanted to use. I believe there's a Proverbs. It's a kind of strange one, so bear with me on this. Proverbs 14, it says, where there are oxen, where there is no oxen, the manger is empty, or clean is one of the other translations. All right, what does that mean? Okay, let me tell you. That where there's no ox, where there is no gifts of the Holy Spirit, everything is neat and clean and tidy. But let's get the second half of the Proverbs, which is, but from the strength of the oxen comes an abundant harvest. When we have the Holy Spirit working in our church and in our lives, things get messy. And sometimes we have to shovel out the stalls to clean things back up again because we do make mistakes. But we have to have the ability to learn to make mistakes. It's a trial and error thing often. But as long as we learn from mistakes, we more and more get to know what God's voice sounds like in our life. And that's where we want to be. We want to be in a place where when we hear God's voice, it becomes more and more probable that this is God really telling me to do this. Now, there always is a time when God, bam, hits you and you go, oh, yeah, this is God. And then you can pretty... But there are other times where he's just speaking with that still, small voice talked about a few weeks ago, and we have to be really attentive to hear what he has to say. But it can be very messy. We had a prophecy given to us one time when we were in, I believe it was Sarnia, Ontario, for a conference, in which we were told, and there were a lot of us who were there who were of the more mature stature, who were given this word, and in it they said, you'll be changing many diapers in your ministry. And what we took that to mean is we were going to help people grow through the process of messing things up. And we were going to help them through it. I mean, even if you look at the baseball players, if somebody hits 333, that's one out of three, they're up there in the All-Star game for hitting one out of three. If you shoot 40% from the three-point line, you're considered an excellent three-point shooter. I mean, we don't have to be 100% in the stuff we do. I mean, we don't want to make mistakes, especially don't want to hurt anyone, and we want to be a little more cautious as new people come in. But we've just got to do something. We have to really respond to when God speaks to us. I bet there's often times in which we have a ministry time and you're waiting for someone else to say something or do something. I know it's not you, Madonna, but I mean other people. And it's just, you know, we go with everyone gets to play, and there's a small group of us can't do everything, shouldn't do everything, refuse to do everything. So we just really need to step out in faith. Now, why would we even do this Holy Spirit stuff if it's so dangerous? Not necessarily dangerous, but at least messy. Well, let me give you some reasons. The first one is we find purpose in the things that we do. We believe that every single person is made by God and that they're made for a unique purpose and a unique calling that's specific and directive and purposeful. And most people don't have a sense of purpose. Every single person, whether they know Jesus or not, whether they consider themselves spiritual or not, have in their heart a desire to be part of something bigger. Actually, there's another slide that had that on there. I'm sorry. There you go. It's the purpose, that's a quote from The Purpose-Driven Life by, and I'm now drawing blank on his name.
Rick Warren,
thank you. And, I mean, he sold millions of copies of this book because it rang with people to be true. I mean, most of us are really in our own life a big thing in a small pond. Like, for instance, me, click the bishop thing. See, some of us see ourselves as being really important. You know, but it's really not about us. What if we are a really big thing? One more click. I mean, a really small thing and a really big thing. Or the next one, a really big thing in, say, the army of God. We sang that song, Phil did today, the angel armies. So, I know you might ask, why can't I be a big thing, big part of a big thing? Well, not everybody can, but we're part of a larger story. And we have a purpose in that. I pray a prayer every morning, and one of the lines in it is that I'm here because God had a purpose for me in my life, and that it wasn't an accident, but God had specifically designed me to do what I'm called to do. And that's what we need to realize. Now, another reason why we should go after the Holy Spirit is we'll find fulfillment. One Christian researcher, Christian Schwartz, found that the one thing that could bring fulfillment was someone knew how they were uniquely made and were regularly serving in that capacity. We all want to find out what's our part. What are we supposed to do? You saw all those different kinds of gifts. It's not like one person has all of those and nobody else has anything. We all have a piece to the puzzle. We're all part of that living body called the church. Another reason we go after the Holy Spirit is we find relationships. When we pray for each other, we feel that connection with other people who are serving us. Paula has another link of connection with the ladies who came and ministered to her. When we do life with other people, that it has cause and purpose. From our deepest relationships, we can get this. I mean, if you've ever heard of stories of army troops who 50 years later got back together, they were instantly one. Because they had a cause and a purpose that in that time of war, to make them a unit that would never change. And we really need to have cause with community. That's what God's calling us to. Cause without community, we have a corporation. So Starbucks is a cause, but there's no community there. Their cause is to make money and to over-caffeinate most of the U.S. So, but community without cause, we call that codependency. And it's kind of like the analogy I heard actually Rich Nathan, the pastor in Columbus, say. He said, sometimes we get so inwardly focused on ourselves that we're just kind of like a whole bunch of puppy dogs that are all in a little box licking each other. We don't really accomplish anything. We just make each other feel better. And that's the community without cause. We're just here to have fun. And it's a great way to spend Sunday morning. You know, that's when there is no cause. When we don't have cause about our life, we're not living with purpose. We're not linking arms with other people. Our relationship eventually becomes weird and ingrown and strange. I don't know if you've ever been to a church where that's the case, but it's not fun. We often wonder why our friendships don't work out. It's because often we're not on a journey together. Eventually we realize that we were made for more than sitting around being nice to each other. And I think that's what it's is to be about. The people of God, cause does create community. When you're about something in your life, you will rally people with you to do life together. That's true if you have a weak cause or a great cause. But the cause we have, the kingdom of God, Jesus Christ, is a great one. When we do that together, when we commit to do that with other people, we say, I'm not going to live alone. I'm going to do it with other people. We can form wonderful relationships, messy relationships, but wonderful relationships. Ones that, so that that's why it's important for us to think about the Holy Spirit. The gifts are given by God for us to love one another, which is, again, as I started, the nature of God is loving us all. So it isn't anything we can do. We can't conjure up gifts of the Holy Spirit. Oh, I saw how he did it, so I'm going to make up something that sounded like, no. Now, gifts can be, I'll just briefly touch this, constitutional or situational. Some people just have certain gifts. We used to have a guy in the church a long time ago, his forte was headaches. So if you got a headache, you asked him to pray. Not because he was the only one who could pray, but you knew he had a better shot at it than the average guy here. There's constitutional gifts that we have. We just really have that, and we know it. And then there's situational, which means all gifts are open to us when we really need them. Something happens, we need God in this situation. God gives us to what we need, whether it's a word of knowledge, healing, or whatever. Let me look at the list again, and you can see that a lot of these are, I mean, all of them are for other people. I mean, even I'm looking at miracles. Miracles are really cool, but they're not. They're only some sort of parlor trick if it isn't really something that really impacts certain people. I used to love it when someone at a prayer meeting I used to go to, new people came and they didn't know who I was. Because then I knew they weren't saying, this is what I think you ought to do, or this is what I think is wrong with you, or whatever. They had no idea. And this lady one time just really hit right on the nose with things about me. And I found out later she was a little emotionally impaired, but she had a gift from God, so it didn't make any difference. We had a guy in the old Ann Arbor Vineyard who was just plain weird. He was a janitor and that kind of thing. And he always wanted to pray for people, and you'd be a little bit afraid, especially healing. But the thing was, is when he prayed for people, they got healed. And so you got by the weirdness and said, hey, Jim, would you pray for me? Because he had a gift for that, and we knew it. One of the things we need to know is that gifts are not equal to maturity. If I have a gift, that doesn't mean God thinks I'm mature and I can handle it now. I can tell you that's really, I've seen that not be the case. Some of the people who could least handle the gifts of the Holy Spirit got full blown. It's not something that says you're okay or you're better than other people or you're cooler or stronger. It's none of that. It's a gift, which means you get it without merit. I didn't earn this or that. God gave it to me. I don't know why sometimes, but he did. Maybe a calling or whatever. So we can't see a successful gift in our life as being a stamp of approval from God, because God loves us anyway, period. So we have to be careful not to let any of these things go to our head. That's a great danger, especially when God's strongly using us. We think that it's God's approval. We think that we're good. Well, he wouldn't be anointing me with this gift if I was doing wrong things. Wrong. He would. He could. He does. It is no approval. He's doing it for that other person anyway, not for you, if you really believe that, with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Gifts are from God, unmerited, and that's it. They're from God for other people, unmerited. We happen to be the conduit, the pipe that those go through, and that's it. Greek word for it is charisma, which is a gift of grace, a free gift, favor, spiritual gift. The other word, the other translation of it is gracelet. It's a little piece of grace. Grace is what God gives us when we don't deserve it. It's not because we're such good people he's going to give us grace. I mean, that's the stupid, bass-ackward way that people think about things all the time. I should get this because I earned it. Or if you're praying for somebody that's sick, oh, Lord, heal them because they've been such a good ministry leader here. And God's going, well, that isn't why I lead. I heal because I love them. And it's what God wants us to know. It's not an office, it's not a ministry, it's not a talent. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit. Gifts are worked out through a unique person. Different gifts are different for different people. Prophetic gifts. Some people are just right out there, and they get a prophetic gift and you know it, and they're boom. There are other people who are kind of quiet and reserved, and so they'll get like a dream or something, and they won't really necessarily always come out with it, or a vision, or whatever it is, Matthew, that you get. But pick out people because I'm starting to see things move in people's lives. And I see it as God is starting to raise up in our church more and more people. I want to challenge you. I want to say, if you have this inkling that God's doing something in you in ministry time, after church, or shoot, even in the middle of my sermon, but be careful with that one, that you do it. I'm calling you out to do it. I'm not just giving a really sweet series on gifts of the Holy Spirit so you can be smarter. I'm doing it because I think God wants to move. Will this ruin our church? I hope so. Because I don't mind God. I don't mind Holy Spirit ruining our church. I don't mind him coming in and healing people. Lord, I need healing in so many ways.